For years, Slip Angle and Apex Pro have worked together to help make drivers faster. The all-new Apex Pro mobile app for iOS and Android is now available on the App Store and Google Play Store. Download the new app for free, create a user account to log as many laps as you'd like using your phone as the GPS source. Apex Pro is the app for timing your laps and logging your data at the track. With video recording and intuitive analysis features, plus the ability to easily share and compare data, Apex Pro is the best way to learn about your driving trackside. Apex Pro includes leaderboards so you can see where you stack up against other users, and Apex Pro lets you see other drivers on track in real time with the Crew View feature. Upload your data easily to FireLabs to compare with drivers using other data devices. Download for iOS and Android today by searching Apex Pro New. This episode is brought to you by FireLabs and FireLabs.com. Too often, drivers fail to extract the full performance potential out of their vehicle at the track because analyzing motorsports data takes time and can be difficult to understand. FireLabs is a fresh and intuitive tool to simplify motorsports data review to allow you to focus on reducing your personal best lap time. This year, Slip Angle and FireLabs have partnered together to help our audience go faster. Annual subscription signups using promo code SLIPANGLE or Slip Angel, will get 15 months for the price of 12 and a free Slip Angle or Track Tune t-shirt. Head over to firelapse.com and start letting your data be your coach.
How long are we going for?
How long do you want to go for, Ross? Ross wants to go to dinner. We'll keep it tidy. Don't worry.
But not here.
Yeah, we got you a person. We got to stick a mic in your face. Ross Bentley, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm hanging out with you on your birthday. Well, almost
a couple days after my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Freaking whole paddock just sung me happy birthday. Surprise. What a bunch of jerks. I was just standing there like, don't know what to do with my hands. It's the worst.
Well, I was actually watching what you were doing with your hands, and maybe it was a good thing that you didn't continue to do that with your hands.
Yeah, didn't know what to do with my hands. So we're at Gingerman Raceway for Midwest Festival Rev Up, the 2 weeks before Midwest Festival. We got 100 time attack cars. We got three run groups of DE. Pretty full paddock. Pretty good vibes, aside from some cars getting stuck in the sand and Pete rolling over. Why are you here, Ross?
Because of you. Because of your birthday. No. Well, actually that too. But I'm here because I love to coach drivers. And Garmin is... I'm going to a number of different events. Like last year, we were at New Jersey with you.
And JMP.
And an opportunity to demo the Garmin Catalyst.
Yep.
And so Garmin's kind of...
They send you around a few times a year to talk to people?
Yeah. So it's a blast.
I'll take a free Ross Bentley anytime I can get them. So, I'm into it, baby. And it's a cool little product. I have a prototype one from years ago. So I think it's really... I think it's a lot of fun. I use that. I use an Apex Pro. I think they're cool. So
So the response here has been fantastic.
Awesome.
The people, I mean, first of all, getting to meet a lot of people that already have it, drivers that have been using it for a while.
Right.
And it's fun because, you know, it's an opportunity to kind of, answer some questions. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that have, you know, they have data devices and they're not getting the most out of them.
Right.
So kind of helping those. But then we put them in some cars for people.
Yeah,
and they're coming back going, oh man, I need one of these. Yeah,
the new Gingerman Street Sweeper is right up by us by turn one here. I can't believe they bought a Street Sweeper. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's going to be amazing.
But I think he needs to work on his corner entry speed.
Yeah, he's going a little slower. I guess the thing goes 60 miles an hour too, so we can get it out to an oil dry pretty quick.
So I drove for the first time in 2 years,
a year
and a half.
I drove a GR Supra or a Corolla.
I drove a GR Corolla today. The last time I was on track was in January of last year. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. Ben Horisco gave me keys to the GR Corolla.
Yeah.
And I had my Apex Pro device.
Right.
And this was the first time that I was actively looking for what the indicator lights were saying. Normally when I drive, that is so far into my periphery, I don't even see it.
Yeah. And just look at it afterwards.
This time, especially in turn two, I was okay. More. Because if I see any red, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And
you're being a nerd.
Yeah. And so I get out and look at the data, and the thing that I was struggling with was overslowing, or at least slowing too soon, such that I would ease off the brake.
Yeah.
And my braking speed would change and then get back on throttle. So you see that especially in the hard brake zones where I would brake too early too fast, and then wait to get on power.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're the only driver that has ever done that. Not.
Seems like a pretty common problem.
It is scary problem, out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a car you've never driven. You know, you don't even like know anything about it. But
well, and it belongs to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you don't actually, those are the ones that usually go the best, though.
Well, or the worst.
Yeah. There's that.
It was not as fast as I would have expected.
Yeah, that's what he was saying too.
114 on the back straight.
Okay.
Which is like GLTC speed.
Yeah. Which the heat soak is a problem on that car. But.
So if you were going to go back on the track now, what would you work on?
Focusing on those hard brake zones, especially.
Yeah. And how are the brakes?
And do what?
I would push the brake point just a little bit so that when I got on the brakes fully, when I was done braking, I could get straight back to the accelerator rather than like breathe off and then get back on throttle.
Yeah. Well, can I
yes,
can I coach?
No, I won't take any free coaching from Ross Bentley.
Coached by Ross Bentley.
So the very first thing I'd say to you is don't try braking any later, because it's kind of, you know, it's scary out there, right?
It is scary out there.
So here's what you do. Just brake lighter for the next time on track. I just say, just go out there, brake where you were before, but just brake lighter. And that will
take away a little bit less speed.
Less speed, enter the corner with more speed. And once you do that for a little while, you're going to naturally start to brake later.
Start tightening that zone up.
Yeah. Mm. But as a step, as a process, start with some lighter braking.
Especially with a car you don't know and trust. You don't want to dive too deep. But how are the brakes on that car, by the way?
Sufficient.
You have good pads on it?
I don't know.
No idea. Last time I did a GLTC race last year, I had my Apex Pro and I had my Garmin. And those two things combined give you a lot of interesting data, because I like the video feedback that I can pull. I can not even get out of the car, pull the Garmin down, and I can watch what I was doing. And then I can pull up my phone or my iPod Nano thing.
Do people still have iPods?
Yeah. My Android didn't work with the old Apex Pro. So like I can look at the two things while I'm sitting in the garage, and I think together they work really, really well for me.
In my opinion, the biggest difference between those devices and the ones that other people use more are that you don't have to have a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that was my favorite thing
about the Apex Pro and the
for
Garmin.
A lot of people because they have
I'm not going to pull out
they
a
have solos especially that are really powerful tools, but they don't bring a laptop to the track, or they can't be bothered to go connect to Wi-Fi to download the data to your laptop. Like
you get talking with your friends and it's hot and you're tired and it's like, I'll just do it later, and you never do.
The number of times I've asked a group of drivers, I go, how many of you have a data system? And all these hands go up, and I go, how many of you actually take time to look at it through the weekend? And they're like, one hand goes up.
Yeah, they just look at the lap time, that's all.
Yeah, it's a weight balance, actually.
You get this predictive lap time that like makes you drive off the hardest braking zone because you overdid it, and that, you know, and so it ruins a lap here and there. And
I mean, any of those systems are...
They all have a problem. They all have a flaw, but they're all useful if you use them.
They're only useful if you use them, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But they're also, you can go too far with it too.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were, you know, we're kind of talking about all this technology that we have now. And, you know, I'm not saying it's like we're Formula One teams or anything like that.
But compared to 10 years ago, though, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, you know, wow, you know, like this group, they don't allow any kind of lap timers or anything. And it's like, boy, that would be terrible. Like, kind of like, and then he looked at me and he says, I guess when you started racing, you didn't have anything. I was like, I came in and somebody gave me a piece of paper with the lap times on it. So
The first year we did GLTC at Blackhawk, I think it was 2019, we didn't allow lap timers.
That was so
fun. We hand timed. We did it like it was 1970, because that track has got like this old school vibe to it.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty rad.
So, it was cool.
Yeah, no lap timers. We hand timed and everything, and it was just photo finished. It was pretty cool, actually. So I enjoyed that weekend. Wow.
So what have you been up to?
Yeah, who you been coaching? Where you been?
Last weekend I was at Laguna Seca.
Okay.
For the IMSA weekend.
That sounds like the worst.
And, you know, it started off not so good.
Oh, yeah?
And then kind of went down for the hill from there, and then went back up a little bit, and then I went back down a little bit, and then we won.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who are you working with right now?
Stephen Thomas, the gentleman driver that I've been working for the last 4 years and in the LMP2 car, and his co-driver is Mikkel Jensen, who you know, there are drivers in the world who are really, really good, and then there's a few that are special. Yeah. Mikkel is special.
Pretty special.
There's a reason why he's also a factory Peugeot driver in WEC.
Yep.
So it's kind of fun working with him and alongside him. And but, you know, my driver continues to do exactly what he needs to do and be
awesome.
The best in the bronze category. And, yeah. Anytime at Laguna Seca is a good experience.
You enjoy being there? So I've only been on property one time there, like for a tour, 15 years ago. And it's got a special vibe to it. Here comes our sweeper truck again.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he's doing a Yui. I don't know.
He's working on his braking.
Yeah, backwards. Backwards entries.
He's going to be really good in this one section of the track. Yes.
The place has got a pretty special vibe. Like, how does it rank in your hierarchy of tracks as far as being there and, you know, enjoying it?
So I must say that, you know, there was a period of time where the track kind of went downhill in terms of the maintenance on it. Okay. And it suffered a little bit, but they're making a big improvement. They're making lots of brand new bridge across the track. They began repaving this week.
Yep.
They were meant to do that before the IMSA weekend, but because of the big rains and floods in California, that got delayed.
And you got to have adequate curing time before you put giant Michelins all over the place.
Yeah. But, Laguna is one of my favorite racetracks in the world to go to. Part of that is, I mean, I think, it's a fun track to drive.
Yeah.
It's challenging. But it's Monterey, California, which...
It's not bad.
It's not a bad place to go to.
The weather's usually pretty good, too, right?
Yeah. Now, we did have the typical, it was beautiful all weekend long.
Yeah.
We made a massive change to the setup on our car on Saturday night. It was sort of one of those, maybe we try this. Well, we get warm up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Well, we show up at the track and it's fogged in.
Yeah.
Which is pretty typical for Laguna.
Yeah.
And the fog didn't burn off until like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I've heard to build in some fog time.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going there in October. When are we going there? I think we're going in October. Yeah.
Yeah, it's October.
Yeah, middle of October or whatever.
I'd love to come and hang out with you guys there just because.
Well, I mean, you can.
It's Laguna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. A little bit nervous. It's a, first time at any pro track is always like a learning experience. The other, a couple weeks ago, I was like, it's like moving in with your girlfriend or staying a long weekend with your girlfriend's parents because, you're going to have to see these people, once a year. And you're like, why do your feet smell so bad? Why do you do that? Why do you clean the dishes that way? it's just all these little relationships you have to form. So, especially with pro tracks because they're always so, they know how they want to do it. They want to do it their way and you have to do it their way. But, yeah, Lime Rock was my favorite one to work with, pro track wise. But
it is so awesome that you guys at Grid Life you've made those kind of inroads where these major tracks are saying, "Come on over."
The Lime Rock one was still kind of shocking that that happened. That event was so fun, and those people were maybe the coolest first track we've ever been to, as far as how they were to us and how it went. It was just incredible.
So,
just awesome people.
I think I've said it on the show, but I'll say it to Ross. I'm not saying this specifically because I think we deserve gratitude necessarily, but at the event at Lime Rock, the president of the track took time to speak to everyone who was having dinner
Saturday night
and say how grateful he was that Grid Life was at the track and we're working on this relationship.
It was a big event. It
felt like it was perfectly mutual. It was a wonderful thing.
Well, he was tearing up after the first drift session. Dickie was actually crying because the first time drift was ever on there.
Was he crying because of what you're doing to
the
pavement?
No, he was dude, it's amazing. And Skip Barber's down there taking rides in drift cars. Sam Posey's taking rides in drift cars. Like,
that is
helped
cool.
Sam Posey into a drift car.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just wild. It was so cool. Sam Posey was on the live stream. Skip Barber's on the live stream. It was just a weird, fun weekend. It went really well. It was a mix of, the IMSA crowd that comes to every IMSA race and any spectator race there. And then, our crowd came out from everywhere, drove halfway across the country to spectate at Lime Rock. It was just a really good vibe. And I hope we have the same vibe at Laguna.
So can I ask you guys a question? Your very first event was here at Gingerman, right?
Yes.
So when you were doing that event, did you imagine that one day you would be at Lime Rock and Road America and Road Atlanta?
I thought it was a one-off and we'd never do this again. the first time we actually rented a track was here as well in 2004 when it was West Michigan Honda Meet. We still do that event every year. We've done that event here for 20 years now. And then our first grid life, calling it grid life, was here 10 years ago. So wow. that's where that started. So,
come a long way.
Yeah, it's been a thing. It's been a thing. But
it's weird because I look at the paddock right now, and minus the music festival,
this is like, bigger than
this
the first grid
looks
life.
Like yeah. grid life's 15 or 16.
Yeah, this is bigger than the first couple of grid lives. So.
Yeah, I mean, when I drove in this morning, I was like, wow,
it's not a little event.
There's a lot of cars here.
It was sold out.
Some cool cars and some good quality stuff.
If you come in 2 weeks, you won't be able to walk around. It's going to be ridiculous.
Have you ever been to our full-size festivals?
I don't think you have.
No.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's on the bucket. You know, it's right up there with Le Mans.
I bet.
The Indy 500.
I'll bet it is.
Grid Life Festival.
You're such a liar. So for reference, you know, Spectator Hill way over there.
Yeah, yeah.
All the way to Turn 2. And the entire depth of it, which is, I don't know, 300 feet, 400
feet.
At
least.
It's complete full of campground. Like tents on tents on tents.
Hundreds upon hundreds and upon hundreds of people.
We fill the field over there all the way to the other gate. And then the music festival is just beyond the trees up past Turn 2. So that's the layout.
Total attendance?
Through the weekend, it's in the 18,000 range.
Wow.
So. And that's cumulative. So there'd be like 6,000 to 10,000 people on site.
But
so,
it is true that like... Last year, I think, you could not put more people in. We were out of parking. Yeah. We were out of everything.
So mowing down more fields back there. Charlie's got a plan to bring in maybe another, like we can park another physical 300 cars or 400 cars now. Charlie says another 1,000 cars, but I'm optimistic on that. But yeah, a lot of dumb logistics for this event because the track's just not built for it.
Right.
You know? So,
what do the people of South Haven think of you?
The town loves us because we buy all their beer and hot dogs and tents.
Yeah.
The township is like, why is it so loud? The township is like 3,000 people around it. And so like a rural, semi-retired township. You know?
Yeah.
So we go to the township meetings and talk to them. We try to have a relationship with them. But we do remote check-in for drivers on Thursday morning at Walmart. And so like Wednesday night is a whole nother paddock at Walmart and they like take over Walmart and party in the Walmart paddock.
And they like buy everything.
Like everybody's coming out with $600 shopping carts, you know, just filled with crap.
Wow.
And then we do a remote box office check-in. And this is the first time we did it was last year. We use like a thing called Tables Ready, which is like a restaurant app. And so the check-in team gets the rig size and the phone number. And then I just start calling them in. And so we know who's coming because we don't want to block off the road. We don't want to clog up this right here. And then we can park as efficiently as possible. You know, the team's like, I need a big rig to fill this one hole. So we call the biggest rig, stuff like that. So it's Thursday's the worst part about this event. Parking the paddock is the worst part. But, yeah, it's a wild, fun event.
It's a thing.
So, there was one year where we had tents along the front straight because we ran out of space to put our staff. Like, my RV was in the hot pits one time.
Wow.
Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
So, that was long ago. But so what's the primary thing you're doing right now? Just flying all around coaching different groups and classrooms and all that stuff?
So I'm going to say, first of all, my driver in racing in IMSA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the stuff I'm doing with Garmin, which is just an absolute blast because... you know, they keep developing it and making it better and better and better, and they kind of keep asking me for input, and you know, so that's really cool.
That's cool that they keep developing it too.
Yeah.
So I haven't hooked mine up to the internet. I need to update.
So I will ask a question.
Yeah.
When they first got released, a feature that they didn't have that other devices do have is the ability to look at the speed distance trace. Has that been added? And if it hasn't, can you tell me that I don't need it, and here's why?
So first of all, I believe there's been a speed trace on the device since day one.
Really? Then maybe I just didn't know what I was talking about.
Different, though.
Yeah. Okay. So it's there. Now, one of the things they have added, they launched last year, was a companion app.
Perfect.
So you can now, if you want, you can look at those squiggly lines on a phone or on a tablet.
I do like squiggly lines.
Yeah, and he's a scientist. He likes squiggly lines.
And you know, it's interesting. You know, one of the engineers from Garmin is here.
Yep.
Who is the guy that's, you know?
Is that Tony?
It's actually Mitchell.
Okay.
And you know, at one point I pointed at something and said, "I've not seen that little icon." And he says, "Yeah, I put that in there last month." So you know, they're constantly updating it. And
that's neat. That's neat.
But one of the things that was really interesting, him being an engineer, you know, he's like, well, you know, when you first look at this, you look at the graphics here and this image here and everything. And I'm like, no, I look at the squiggly lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for decades, I've been looking at data systems and looking at squiggly lines.
Yeah, so you're probably dealing with DL1s back in the day and all that kind of stuff.
Before those, practically. Yeah, you know, so I like looking at that. But
I got a DL1 on the shelf still. Yeah. 25-year-old data system or whatever.
Trackmate's pretty old.
I had a hot lap where you had to put the beacon and a 12-volt battery next to it. I still got that on the shelf, too.
Yeah. So, you know, you can look at it in different ways. Okay. So, you know, it kind of appeals to some people who like seeing images. Some people like seeing squiggly lines. Some people like seeing numbers. You can look at it in different ways. And a lot of the updates have been because of these events. Their engineers come around to these demo events.
They see it. Yeah, they see it.
They see it. Yeah. They have a customer saying, you know, I'd really like it to do this. What I find is, you know, a month or two later, they've updated it, and that's part of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
What I can say, and I said this to Adam yesterday, is one of my favorite things about it is also one of my least favorite things about it, and that is the camera that goes on the windshield is wonderful. The video is perfect, but it goes on the windshield, and I can't see what the driver does.
Yeah.
You know, you can mount a GoPro behind you.
You can do that.
That's true.
Yeah. No,
you should tell Mitch to put the second camera behind it.
Yeah. Part of the reason for it being mounted where it is and why
it needs to see the road.
Because of the accuracy. Like, it uses GPS, it uses the accelerometer, and it uses the camera
to tell it where it's at.
Which is why the positioning that it shows up with is more accurate.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
I don't actually want to get rid of that camera. I just, more cameras would be nice.
Buy another one.
Well, can you just add one?
Not that will plug into that same system. But
we should tell them to do that, though. But that might be hard.
Please tell them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell them tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's kind of been amazing to me in the past year and a half, how many of them I see.
Yeah,
and I have actually I've started to keep an eye on it, and it's probably 10% of our paddock. It's quite a bit of them.
Yeah,
people love pulling it off before they even unbuckle and just start to look at things because you can really digest. That's the coolest feature about it. So.
Yeah,
the way I utilize it.
I was talking to a group of your drivers earlier at lunchtime today, and they were wanting to, sort of the topic of what's your favorite feature or favorite part of this thing, and I'm like, it's the way that stitches all the video together of your
best optimal lap. That is cool, too.
No, I love the audio coaching with confirming feedback. That's just like having a really good coach in a car.
British lady tells you to brake later.
Yeah. And if you do it right, she gives you a compliment.
Yeah.
That's so powerful for a driver in learning. So there's that. I mean, I love the way it just, you know, I mean, when I first sat down with them, I said, you know, never tell a driver more than three things.
Okay.
So they built that into this thing.
Interesting.
So, you know, at the end of a session, it says, here's your three opportunities. You should do this, this, and this.
Yep.
So
yep.
I love all those things. And then I kind of go, I just like that you can pull it off and I don't need to waste a bunch of time, not waste, but take a lot of time to download it to a computer, look at the squiggly lines. Yeah.
And then back engineer what they mean. You know, like it does a lot of that part for you, which is the bit, I mean, what Abe said, like pulling the computer out and like just looking at it is just the barrier to entry for most people.
Yeah.
Because they're here to have a good time. And sometimes that's not that fun.
Yeah,
you know, last session of the day, you're like, it's time to jack the car up and drink some beers. Like, let's not do that.
So. Or, you know, you ran at 11 o'clock and you're back on track at 1 o'clock.
Right. You don't have time. You should probably look at the car first.
I kind of like to put some fuel in the car and put some fuel in my stomach. And
make sure the wheels are tight and tires are good.
Yeah.
When it was coming out in like 2019, I remember talking to you in 2019.
Yeah.
And they were going to do a demo day at Thunder Hill.
Yep.
And then it freaking COVID canceled it, and I couldn't go party with him at Thunder Hill. I was really excited to drive Mustangs at Thunder Hill or whatever it was.
Yes.
But the development process of it, how long was that? You were part of
that. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell the story of, like many people, I get 100 emails a day. And, you know, part of the day is, how quickly can I get through all these?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, trying to go through these, and I get this one email, and it's like another company, you know, we're looking at motorsport product. And I'm about to hit click. And then I read the bottom and it's fellow's name. And it says Chief Architect, Area 51, Garmin.
Yeah.
I'm going, I'm going to answer this email.
That might be one you answer.
Yeah, and so they invited me to go to their headquarters in Kansas City and sit down with them and spend a day and a half, I think it was, just whiteboarding. And then they asked me, what would you want? And me saying, well, you know, it'd be really cool. Could you, like, you know, the way theoretical, could you put the laps together?
Yeah.
And could you do it, like, with the video? And they're like, they're making notes of this thing, and we're talking about the way the feedback is and how I coach and all that kind of stuff. And they came up with this thing that there's a little bit of me in there.
Yeah.
In a scary kind of way.
That's cool.
And, you know, at one point, they sent me a request, and it said, tell us all the words and phrases that you use when you're coaching somebody in the car with them. So I told them all this stuff, and then I said, why do you want that? And they're going, well, we're going to make this thing talk to the drivers. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? So, you know, we had a lot of discussions about the timing of that. You know, you obviously don't want to get just at the beginning of the brake zone in it to tell you to brake earlier.
It's too late.
Too late. Yeah. So you need to, like, how is it going to sense where to give that feedback? So they thought a lot about all of those kinds of things.
Well,
so,
even the feedback itself has a, like, a duration.
Yes.
Right? So if you need to execute the total duration of the feedback here, it might start talking to you as soon as you exit 11 or maybe at the, you know, starter stand or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you need to hear and process before you get to that brake zone.
Right.
Yeah, it's, so it's such a different thing.
Yeah,
like, and that was not something that ever existed, which is cool about it.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing in the beginning was, you know, most data systems have always been designed by engineers for engineers. And please don't get me wrong if you're an engineer. But that's what they're meant for.
Yeah.
And what we as drivers and as coaches did was we adapted to that. And this was the first device that really kind of went, no, let's just focus on what's best for the driver.
Right.
And make it for the driver. And so, yeah, I mean, to your question, I think it was probably 2017-ish.
Oh, like, so it took a few years.
It took a couple of years. And, you know, there was a point in time where I went to Heartland Park and spent 2 days with them trying stuff. And
I love Heartland Park.
It was, yeah. It was.
Love that place.
It was mostly a kind of a session meant to do a, you know, could you move the button over here? Could you change the color of this? You know, was that kind of usability kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of 2 days, after driving this Mustang GT350 flat out for 2 days.
That sounds horrible.
It was terrible work. And you know, I thought, okay, I'm just going to listen to, I'm going to take in the three opportunities it tells me to work on.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go on track and have the lady in the box that I call Kat.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Kat talk to me. And I went out there and I knocked 0.9 seconds off my best lap time.
Well, I mean, not like you've driven much a lot. And like in your life,
yeah.
I mean, what's the biggest race you were ever in?
Biggest race I drove in?
Yeah, it's not like you've driven a whole lot.
I don't know.
I mean, you did win this. When did you win
24?
Yeah, and like you crashed at Indy one time. Yeah, all kinds of fun things.
Yeah. I didn't I spent qualifying weekend at Indy in intensive care. So
you
how's that?
Yourself up? Yeah. You did some stuff.
Yeah.
That bodes pretty well towards the usability.
That's the thing.
Of the product,
I mean, I got out of the car and went, I'm out of a job.
Yeah.
But I've then learned that actually it's more like my assistant coach. It helps me.
That's cool.
But I thought, you know, if it could do that,
yeah,
this thing has got something.
There might be a little bit of potential for AI to make racetracks more fun for people.
Yeah.
Go faster, more fun.
Yeah.
The hobby itself right now for you, or the sport, because it's not just a hobby for you. What do you think about, like, the current state of all the different events that you go to? Like, how do you feel like it is health-wise? Do you think it's really good, or, like, where do you think it is right now? Because I only have a vision of what we do right now. I'm just kind of curious.
I think it's really good.
Yeah, good.
And I can't think of an event that I've been to where somebody says, yeah, participation's down.
Yeah,
like, good. Even some of the car clubs that have, I'm going to say, struggled for a few years, I think right now it's
pretty
stronger. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I've heard the word pandemic echo.
Yeah.
And I've heard that in a good way and a bad way.
Okay.
And I think that our sport, some of it is, you know, after being cooped up for a year or two, people are like, I got to go drive.
Yeah.
So I think there's some of that.
I think we're seeing a little bit this year in spectators. driver stuff hasn't really changed for us though. It's been sold out.
Yeah.
So we can't really change that a whole lot.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Like, I'm not bragging about that.
Yeah.
But it's sort of actually a hassle more than it is a blessing because you have too much demand for things. But spectator stuff, like, that's the thing that actually, like, helps us break even at the end of the year. There's been many years we have not. So that interest is it's good to hear that you're seeing it elsewhere too.
So I've seen it at, HPD event, car club events. Yep. I've seen it, being more popular.
Yep,
I've
good.
Seen it good. At club racing, like okay. NASA and SCCA events.
Yeah.
I've seen it in pro racing. I mean, IMSA, Laguna Seca, IMSA weekend last yep. weekend. What was it? Like, spectators were up 30 or 40%
nice.
Over
Love that.
Record.
Wow.
For IMSA.
Yeah.
So.
And even Formula Drift last weekend at Road Atlanta. There was, they didn't have any more room. They filled up Road Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the biggest events Road Atlanta's ever had.
And
so I love to hear that.
Formula One, 3 F1 races in the U.S.
Right. That's wild.
And the tickets are outrageously priced.
How do you
priced.
Fill up? How know. Do you fill up Miami with $1,000 tickets?
Yeah. I would say if when
I
you
don't
said
$1,000 to spend in Miami
is the sport in good shape, all except for the ticket prices. Mm-hmm. I think they've gone out of control, and I think that
we're seeing that in racetrack rentals because all of their costs have gone up too.
Yeah,
It costs twice as much to mow the lawn right now.
Yeah,
Like the people cost more, the gas costs more, the parts cost more.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so maybe that's the one downside.
It is the downside.
Cost is
obviously inflation's a thing.
Yeah,
and it's across the board. But
also finding quality track cars right now difficult.
Yeah. A little bit more difficult.
The new Type R has been on my wish list for a year and a half.
Yeah,
and I could buy one today if I were willing to pay $20,000 over sticker.
Yeah,
and that's just silly.
Things are getting expensive.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. I wonder what Jackie paid for that brand new M2.
Whew, it's a lease.
Is it really? What a crazy person.
No way.
I won't. I'm not going to comment on that. I hope it goes well.
Yeah. But, like, spending that much on a car,
yeah.
it puts you in RS3 territory.
Yeah,
I would pick the RS3 over the Type R.
Cars cost
at the same
right
price
now.
Point.
I mean, there was a crappy EF race car that sold on Bring a Trailer, like an old 88 to 91 Civic, which is what I play with. And it sold on Bring a Trailer for like $32,000. Like, this thing sucks. Like, how much is my car worth? My car's been in 3 magazines and in a Larry Chen video. Like, is my car, do I have a $50,000 EF? Should I sell my car? Yeah, it's weird. Things have gotten strange. But
yeah.
Yeah, so.
But I think, the sport is, and I think the understanding of what it takes,
mm-hmm.
I think is, people go Drive to Survive, that whole Netflix
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, you wonder how much that helped too, that kind of stuff.
I know it's helped, from a interest perspective. Yep. I've had people that, never would have, I go and see my doctor, and he wants to talk Formula One with me.
Right.
Where that would not have happened a few years
that's
ago.
Rad.
One
so
of,
that's cool.
One yeah. of my wife's coworkers yeah. Asked her if I was a Formula One driver.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
No.
And you said yes.
In fact, no.
That's crazy. That's so weird. Yeah. People
like,
see.
If you're not in this world, what you do and what we do is highly unusual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so, like, people might not get it.
Yeah. So many of the people in my non-race car world, they're like, oh, so you host races like NASCAR? Like,
yes.
It's always like NASCAR because that's the only racing they've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, the answer will just be, well, yeah.
Well, and pretty similar. Actually, we are hosting with NASCAR in July. So, yes.
I try to avoid that whole question. Like, somebody says, what do you do? I try to avoid it because it just leads into some weird
Do you say something like, I'm a golf swing consultant or something
no,
like that?
Usually I just go, I'm a consultant.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they'll go, what business kind of stuff consultant?
Oh, come on.
And that sounds
analytics,
really boring.
Analytics.
And then the conversation ends. And I mistakenly, when I checked into the hotel last night, they asked me, business or pleasure. I said business. And I was tired and I wasn't really thinking. They said, what do you do? And I go, I'm a race driver coach. And they're like, what? And then
That's
they wanted
thing?
To talk to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to go to my room, please.
Yeah. So when Ashley and I were just a little bit younger and we were like in the wedding cycle where all of our friends were getting married.
Yeah.
If we were sitting at a table at a wedding, at a reception where we didn't know anybody, I found that it was easier to talk about a fake job than it would be what I actually do.
Chemistry and race cars.
So, what I would say was I worked exclusively as a TV VCR combo repairman.
Nice.
I didn't work on VCRs. I only worked on the combos.
On the combos.
And it's getting to be a really tough business.
Those combos, they're problematic.
You're sort of like the George Costanza.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. A marine biologist.
I'm a marine biologist.
Yeah.
You want to be my latex salesman? Whenever people in my non-race car life ask me, like, oh, so what's that racing thing you do? I'm like, you know, we just like, yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah. Like, it's too complicated. You can't talk about it.
You either don't talk about it or you make it so totally
How much
ridiculous.
Time do you have?
We basically launch cars into space and watch them burn up.
Have you ever seen a trebuchet? It's kind of like that. Well, we should probably get Ross over to dinner. So we did a podcast, I think.
We did a podcast with Ross Bentley.
Ross does a podcast with one of our favorite guests, and he does it a bunch of times a year.
Yeah.
Speed Secrets Podcast.
Speed Secrets Podcast. It's
with
Jeff Brown.
I love Jeff Brown. He's my
Jeff
favorite
Brown
person.
Jeff Brown rules, dude.
Jeff is one of the most awesome people in the world. And we started this thing called No Dumb Questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole idea, because
I've asked you a few questions. I don't know if you've ever answered them. I'm not sure.
I don't know. They have to be interesting
enough. You probably get better questions than I ask.
So he and I both get questions all the time from people. And we thought, well, why don't we just answer them on our podcast?
Right.
And we just started doing that. And the great thing about it is we don't prepare.
Just start winging it?
We get on and we go.
Wait, are we supposed to prepare for podcasts?
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody prepare for a podcast?
I don't think so.
Do you?
Professionals do.
Well, this is all he does now. He does it with Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Man. So all we do is we get on a call together and.
No, he's fine. We're good.
No, I mean, you know, they're going to do pictures and stuff.
We're going
to. They talked to him. Rob's done it, yeah.
Okay. Yep. We.
Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
It's okay.
It's we're just doing track manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Hi. We just get on and go, okay, I'm going to take this question, you're going to take that question, record.
That's
we just
great.
Jump in and we start doing it. And he and I have known each other for so long that it's kind of easy for us just to have conversations.
I believe this in my core, that the episode that Jeff did with Dinner with Racers about Level 5 was
the best
automotive podcast episodes of all time.
Yeah.
Part of it is because it's an incredible story.
It is, but Jeff's a really good storyteller.
He is. He's a really good. And by the way, their whole family are just really good at everything.
We recorded right before he went to Daytona, and he's been on our list to get back on the show.
Yeah, we got
to
talk to him.
Because I watched the majority of the race, and I just couldn't believe what I was watching and how extraordinary all the different storylines were.
It was so cool
to
see him on the stream, too. Yeah, that was rad.
Yeah. Yeah,
literally the stream is in the pits focusing on him and then cuts to Colin who's winning. Like, it was awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, there are Colin's brother.
Yeah. Hollywood.
Pretty special in Hollywood. And,
yeah, writing everything in Hollywood.
Yeah. Pretty much owns Disney. Now,
yeah, it's crazy.
Like, they're producing his movies and it's like.
Yeah. It's very cool.
And of course, they all come from Diane, who's. Yeah. It's the parenting that makes all that happen. So.
Didn't Colin's brother, what's Colin's brother's name?
Travis.
I was going to say Tyler. I think it was with a Travis. T. Didn't he get his break in scripts and directorial stuff by like a contest with Doritos or something?
Well, no, that helped, but he had already been.
He was already in that world? Okay.
Yeah, he was already a staff writer on Criminal Minds TV
show. Oh, really? That's wild.
And he and his buddy had done that Doritos Super Bowl thing once or twice already, and then I think the second or third time they won it.
That's weird.
That's crazy.
So the next, you know, they're flying him, the two of them, to New York to be on Good Morning America and
super crazy.
Yeah.
It's remarkable that people that are so extraordinary in their profession but also just wonderful people.
Yeah.
Just like they breed this culture of excellence, and I'm just it's cool.
And what I've found is, I mean, there are exceptions to this, but you would never hear any one of them brag.
Yeah.
They're humble. They're just good people.
Yeah.
What did Jeff say the last time around? He was like, I've been to the 24 Hours of Daytona like 34 times, and I found a way to lose
34 times. 32 times or 33 times.
Yeah. 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 That's Jeff. So.
It in person or on the phone. He's such a fun dude to record with. I'm kind of jealous that that's what you guys do for the podcast now. That's super cool.
So
Speed Tickets Podcast, speedtickets.com. That's where people find your stuff.
Yep. And
all kinds of rad books.
Anybody's a sim racer, I have a simraceracademy.com.
Cool.
And going to have something a little bit later this year.
Yeah, I just saw that you noticed that you're going to do some Substack stuff, too.
Yeah, I started on a Substack, so.
Cool.
If I don't know what that is.
If you're a
you don't know what Substack is?
No.
It's like where all the real journalism is nowadays.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You know, I didn't know what it, I didn't know it it's existed really cool. 2 months ago.
It's like Patreon for writers.
Okay.
But you can also do free stuff, too.
I read the New York Times and I read ProPublica. And
yeah, you might be getting propagandized. Go to Substack, dude.
You should go to Substack. Yeah. It's
There's really some really great stuff on there, too.
Yeah. I'm finding all sorts of people to read and everything. But
it's like decentralized journalism. There's some really good stuff out there.
Yeah. So. I had, 2 months ago, I said to my wife, do you know what Substack is? And now I'm on it.
Yeah, weird. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, but I'm really loving this idea of I can write anything I want.
Yeah,
like it's my own platform, and I had been doing the Speed Secrets Weekly newsletter for almost 10 years.
Right,
but I felt like every single week I had to write a how-to
something
column.
Right,
and now I can. I'm still going to do that, but now I can talk about. I'm going to write a piece that's I'm calling it Racy Thoughts. So it's my thoughts about a recent race.
Yeah,
and interesting.
Just, I can just go off on that, or I can talk about sim racing, or I can write about. So
Maybe stories. we're old, all of us.
Some are older than others.
We just rebooted. You might remember
forums,
car forums.
Yeah.
So we
I always
just
hated them.
They're the best.
We love them. We just restarted a forum on our website because as many
forum.tracktune.com.
Forum.tracktune.com. As many people who create YouTube videos and things as there is something that's different and more permanent about writing it down.
Yeah, the encyclopedic resource level of a forum.
We have the forum and we have our TrackTuned website, and both of us have committed to we don't want to drive content on a daily basis. We're not topical news. We're not anything like that.
But if there's something good, we want to keep it there.
Plan is I want to write an article about how to compete in a time attack.
And have a better day than if you did it your own way.
And my first thought is to second guess myself. Who the hell are you? You're a slow driver.
We've seen hundreds of time attacks, We know how people have a bad
Adam
day and a good day.
Between Adam and I, there's probably not any person in the United States or maybe even the world who's been to more time attack events than us.
So we see all the ways to cock it up.
Yeah.
so the finer details, even silly things like what a transponder is, how to make sure that it's working, what to do if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Those things, they don't really communicate very well in a driver's meeting.
Yeah.
But they could if someone just wanted to read a little bit before they got to an event. And it touches a little bit of my personal phobia, which is I hate going into something new and feeling like a dummy.
Yeah.
So I'll read just a little bit to make sure that when I go somewhere, I don't look like a dope. And
so do you think that people are interested in reading enough?
I think they're more interested in finding good knowledge than we think they are, because there's been 5 or 6 years of the abandonment of solid knowledge with Facebook and Instagram, all this I got to get clicks, all this minutiae of knowledge versus permanence. I still look up forum posts from 15 years ago. It's still a thing. So.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I mean, in a week or so, we've got hundreds of members on this thing, and they're making did you see that brake pad post the other day? I think it was amazing. It was the best brake pad breakdown of all the popular brake pads I've ever seen. It was amazing.
I need to go and check this out and help you spread the word.
It was amazing.
It's cool.
Yeah, it was
so
really cool.
The knowledge permanence is what's important
to
me, because we think that there is a generation of drivers here who didn't have the experience of the forums in the past, and there's a plethora of YouTube videos to learn how to perform a task.
Yeah.
But the reasons for why you would do that thing versus something else, or how to know if this is something you need to do, all of those things, people want to see a 3-minute video on how to do an XYZ. They don't want to watch a 45-minute video listening to someone think and talk about something.
Right. Yeah.
And so The only way that certain things even show up in the right, like, Google search is because YouTube is potentially transcribing what's said into text and then putting that into a transcript. Because, like, a video doesn't search engine optimize very well.
No.
The title does, but what's said in the video doesn't.
Right, right. And your point of the length is part of what drives this whole Substack thing. Because I've read a number of from a number of writers on Substack who used to write for The New Yorker.
Yeah.
And they'd write, like, you know, 5,000 word essays.
Yep.
And people aren't buying that anymore. They want the exact same message in 500 words.
Yeah. Mm. It's hard to do.
So, like, it is. I personally I try to resist that temptation, and not perfectly all the time, but like sitting down to read an article in The Atlantic, especially like the cover article, is a commitment.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to do, and I'm going to do it because I feel like I should. I'm not going to expect to be done in 40 minutes.
Yeah, it might take an hour. Yeah, it might take an hour and a half. So yeah, we're excited about it. So
yeah,
well, anyway, we should get Ross to dinner, dude.
Yeah, my stomach's growling. Yeah. So
he's gonna get crabby. He's gonna start fighting us.
We're gonna walk around and
what are you gonna do for dinner? Where are you staying?
I don't know.
All right.
Apparently, the Garmin guys have found me a restaurant for me to meet them at.
All right, we'll let you go then.
Yeah,
we appreciate it. For speedseekers.com.
Yes,
sorry.
Speedseekers.com. That's like.
Sorry we kept you long.
My pleasure.
Yeah, this appreciate it.
This and being at the event, this is really fun.
Yeah,
so
this is like Slip Angle 10,000. You've been on like six times now.
Yeah.
How many shows have you done?
How many shows? A podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, only a couple hundred.
We're at like 525
I
know.
Now. I look at...
A couple hundred? Lazy. You're in like the 0.0001% of podcasts, though.
Well,
I know. How many podcasts do five?
Yes.
So
many. It's amazing how many... Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, we could talk about that, too, so... Yeah.
Well, we always like hanging out with Ross. Yeah. We had a great chat earlier. I really appreciate you coming out to our event.
Yeah, so. My pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.